The Financial Survival Network, helping you survive and thrive in the new economy. Go to carrielutz.com and sign up for 30 free micro trainings on financial survival.
WGCH. This is Carrie Lutz. You're listening to the Financial Survival Network. Only a fool or somebody who is in a deep sleep could possibly believe that February was an uneventful, boring, or slow month. To see exactly what happened, we've got Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist, online with us to do his monthly metals market recap. Mickey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Kerry. I'm in Toronto, and unbelievably here, there is no snow on the ground. It's just brown and gray. Usually it's white and gray here this time of year.
Wow, that's amazing. So you're there for the show, huh?
I am. PDAC starts on Sunday, and I speak Sunday morning.
Yeah, I was thinking of going, but family obligations, so what can you do? But you'll keep us posted on any major developments, of which there won't be anyway, right?
Well, we'll see what happens, but we know there's going to be at least 28,000 people here.
Big show. Big show. So what happened this month in the markets is pretty astounding. They're going up, 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 and up, especially gold and silver. And all of a sudden, it's like they hit a brick wall, right?
Well, gold certainly hit a brick wall a couple of days ago with Bernanke sent it down about $80 or $90 in one day, but generally the markets have been good. Dow is up 2%, S&P broader index 3% up, NASDAQ 4% up. Toronto was only up 1%, but that's probably because it's commodities driven. Commodities as a whole didn't have as boisterous a month as they did in January. The Toronto Venture Exchange, which is the penny stocks in the junior resource sector, was only up 2%, but it's up 14% on the year, so we've seen quite a rebound there. Some of the more speculative markets, again, would be that one, and the emerging market index, again, up 5%, so the developing countries are still puttering along. Probably the only concern we would have would be the Russell 2000 in the States, which is a small cap index, and it is flat. Generally, these recoveries are led by small businesses and the small caps, and this has not happened. We certainly are seeing a recovery in the U.S., but doesn't appear that it's coming from small business, and I would say that's a concern. It's a bit out of the ordinary.
Yeah, they say that, 80% of the new hiring that takes place by small businesses. I haven't seen any statistics lately on new business formations, but the last time I heard, they were pretty flat. Not much going on there. And, you can't look at the stock market as a proxy for the actual economy, even though it's often a leading economic indicator, because there's just so much intervention taking place and so many different things going on that nobody really can know what's happening. But hey, our buddy Platinum here really has put in quite a performance since we first spoke about it on October 14th of last year, huh?
Well, Platinum has been the big winner, and it's very predictable, actually. It's up 20% since the first of the year, up almost 6% this month. That has a lot to do with some severe supply disruptions. There was a violent strike in South Africa. There is a very concerning creeping nationalism in Zimbabwe, and this would be the Great Dyke, which is an important platinoid producer in the world. The government of Zimbabwe owns 8% and has just announced they intend to be 30% holders of Zimplat. So this is of concern. The auto industry, of course, is doing well now. But what we've seen, gold was the only metal that was down over the month. It was down $12. Now that's less than a 1% loss, but silver up 4 to 5%. Of course, it's more volatile. We would expect it to be more volatile. The interesting thing, I think, Kerry, in this whole shebang about the precious metals would be the platinum to gold ratio. When we first started talking back in mid-October about this, it was 0.92, and we commented about how unusual it is for the platinum gold ratio to be less than one, and we predicted that shouldn't last for a very long time. Well, it's come to pass now that as of today, March the 2nd, that ratio is at 0.99, so it's platinum has made great gains, and I think that was expected.
Yeah, and it's probably going to continue because, you know, I just can't see it being in parity with gold for very long. It never happens. It's always trading at a premium of, around 10% or so at least, and probably either gold's going to go up or they're both going to go up, and platinum will go up more, but we called it right 3 months ago, and it's probably going to continue the trend.
Well, I would think so. Dr. Copper has been flat over the last month, but we're in a very bullish phase for copper. Price is still in the upper 380s, 390 range. It has a healthy contango now, which means some of the immediate tight supplies are off. But once again, what we've seen with copper this month is the LME inventories continue to fall. Cancel warrants continue at an 8-year high. And that is all very bullish for the short to midterm for copper. Moving on to oil issues. Oil is probably the big story this month, up 8%, well over $100. It's come back somewhat this week. We've got WTI at the end of the month about $107. And that is basically due to very tight supplies in the first instance, but also geopolitical concerns with what's going on with the U.S. and Iran and Israel and et cetera, and the pending oil sanctions. The thing about Iranian oil, it's light sweet crude, and it can only go to specific refineries. So the Iranians, of course, are scurrying around trying to find some place to send their oil. We had this crazy story out about a month ago about India trading gold for oil, and I wrote a rant about that. Didn't make any sense. Still didn't make any sense.
Knew it was untrue. It couldn't be true because you're talking about Gresham's Law, and as long as somebody's got paper, why would you ever use gold unless you're getting like a 50 or 60% discount? It makes no sense. So,
well, it does make no sense. Now, the Iranians would love to be paid for their oil in gold, because gold retains its purchasing power, and oil certainly doesn't. Gets burned once and goes up as pollutants in the atmosphere. So the idea that a country would buy gold in U.S. dollars and trade it for another asset which gets used up in oil makes no sense. And gas, again, gas just becomes a lost cause. It's was down another 3% over the month. The oil to gas ratio is at 44 now. I think last time we talked it was at 39 or 40. You know, this in North America at least, it's a landlocked commodity, and it can't go anywhere outside of North America. We don't have the LNG facilities to compress it and put it on a tanker and ship it someplace else. So from that point of view, it's been a very mild winter, as I've alluded to, with no snow on the ground in Toronto. I'm sure there's no snow on the ground in New York, which is not unusual this time of year, but sometimes you got snow on the ground. And so now we're coming into the spring, a very slow season, and a typical low price season for natural gas, and there is no end in sight, nothing on the future horizon that I can see in a short and midterm that's going to increase the gas price. Over the month, uranium, again, flat, but there's been a couple of very interesting occurrences in the business end of the uranium sector today or this week. Cameco's buying out a portion of Areva's holdings in right. the Athabasca Basin.
Mm-hmm.
We expected Areva to divest in the Athabasca Basin. It appears this is
yep.
the start. $150 million deal announced today. Cameco by the Areva's 28% share of the Millennium deposit. And that's been great news up in Canada today. It kind of dominated the commodities talk on Business News Network today. But I think more importantly from a U.S. point of view is URI, the Uranium Resources, Inc., based in South Texas and has been moving into a big way in New Mexico, bought out privately held Neutron Energy. That's something on the order of 18, 19 million pounds of uranium. And that is, in my opinion, the start of a consolidation of the uranium development companies in New Mexico, which we've been waiting for quite some time, and it's very good to see that start to happen.
Yeah, it's kind of inevitable because after natural gas, uranium seems to be the most undervalued natural resource market. And in the future, like they just approved the two nukes for Georgia, and you're going to see it more and more. We talked about it last time. The demand is going up. They're building them like crazy in Asia, especially China. And in the long run, uranium, hey, where's it come from, right? Where do they get it from? Mostly Canada, some in the U.S., and it's going to have an upward effect on the prices.
Well, it certainly shall, and the spot market has been flat. There's been really no volume, but we've had, since the first of the year, there's been a little bit of a buzz in the uranium sector, and we've seen positive catalysts come along. So at some point, I think the utilities are going to recognize that we're facing a looming shortage of uranium, and when that happens, you want to be positioned to take advantage of that. I am fairly heavily invested in North American uranium explorers and developers and producers, and very happy with my positions, which tend to be long-term. I have a long-term view of the uranium business.
Yeah, well, you have to, because in the final analysis, when gas gets up, petroleum is over $100 a barrel and potentially heading higher. These prices are going to get pulled along with it because demand is going up, and the nuclear power plants just make too much sense to be ignored, even in the U.S. With all of our crazy politics and built-in bias against uranium and nuclear power.
Well, I think, and in the short term, the real concern I think we're facing right now with oil prices well above $100 again, and I've seen some analysts saying we're looking at $150 oil in the next year, and that is not good. That is bad for the economy. That leads to inflation in everything that's transported, as every material is, and in particular, it will lead to another round of food inflation in developing countries. We saw what happened last year.
Yeesh.
When oil prices went above $100, and those oil prices and the inflation it caused directly led to the Arab Spring and overthrow of governments in three instances, and we just hope that doesn't happen again, and we hope it doesn't spread into places like China and India and Indonesia, because it could get really ugly. So oil producers like $110 oil, but the world's not going to function as well when we got these very high oil prices.
Yeah, totally right about that. And the fact is, it was interesting to watch Ron Paul grilling Bernanke, and he said, nobody believes your inflation prices here, your inflation rates. No one believes it. Totally silent on the issue. He's pretty much silent on every issue that Ron Paul raised, other than to say that, hey, it's a free country. People can buy gold and silver if they so desire. That was his major comment on the whole thing. And it's just an issue. It's just perfect example that people often say more by what they don't say than what they do. And clearly, Bernanke's silence, and then 10 minutes later, the gold and silver markets are like, you know, totally brought to their knees by massive sell orders. You know, couldn't have been timed any better, you know?
Well, the timing is suspect, to say the least, and I very much enjoyed Ron Paul's grilling of Bernanke the other day, and everybody I've talked to, that's what they call it, a grilling. So good for Dr. Ron.
Yeah, like at least this time, they must have had Bernanke on some kind of, you know, tranquilizer or some kind of anti-anxiety drug, because he wasn't twitching as much. He wasn't sweating. He wasn't like moving around in his seat, you know, squirming around. He was just kind of dead there. So, you know, I don't know what he was on, but there's some people who should, that I know close to me, that should definitely try some, because it really works.
Well, I've heard a stat that 30% of Americans are on some sort of mind-numbing drugs, prescription drugs. So maybe he's one of the 3 of 10. Who knows?
And that's just the legal mind-numbing drugs. We count the illegal, forget it. It's not even worth going into. Anyway, Mickey, tell us your site again, and how's the Asian site going?
My site is mercenarygeologist.com. The site in Chinese is mercenarygeologist.asia. We continue to add product and build subscribers there. And for anybody in the Toronto area, I will be speaking at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday. And the title of my talk in the Investors Forum at PDAC is Juniors, Metals, and Projects, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And this is a new look from a talk I gave in 2009. Ideas do change, and we have to change with them.
Ideas change, markets change, countries change, and the world is constantly changing, and you're right about that. So, all right, Mickey, hey, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks, and it'll be interesting to see if March comes in like a lion and it goes out like a lamb again.
You know what I'm most interested in seeing is when the platinum price goes over gold again. So we'll see how long that's going to take, Kerry.
I think it's imminent. I really do. I don't know what's going to happen to either market. I won't even hazard a guess because I'm always wrong. And if you're listening to me and thinking about how do I invest my money because he says the market, don't. Okay, that's my main advice. Do not listen to me. But my feeling is it's imminent. It'll happen very quickly. It's been happening so fast that people aren't even noticing it. You notice that?
Well, I have. So that's what we try to do is bring these little factoids to bear and out in the light so people can maybe get ahead of the crowd and do some contrarian plays.
Hey, and those are the best. They always work for me the best. So, all right, Mickey, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Be well.
Okay, thanks a lot, Kerry.